reading from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
In the name of Jesus, amen. I have a confession to make to you. I hate being told to be patient, even by God. I hate it when God says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." I get really uptight when I hear that passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life." Nothing makes me more anxious than being told not to be anxious, and nothing makes me less patient than being told to be patient. Patience really is a virtue and a fruit of the Spirit, we are told, and he's right. We should stop worrying about tomorrow. Instead, we should simply wait for the coming Lord, the parousia of the Lord, even though we can pray, perhaps, that he hurry it up a bit and come quickly. But all the while, we can entrust our days and burdens to him, praying, "Into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things." We are to be patient as Jesus is patient, as the farmer is patient, who does not prematurely harvest but waits for the right time, time for what he has sown to mature and bear fruit, or not. But he gives it the chance to grow, to bear its figs or grapes, not wanting to rush the harvest without sufficient time for the rains of the early season and the late season. And so our Father shows extraordinary patience with us, something which does not come naturally to us sinners. He gives ample time for repentance. When I was in college, I remember a product which came out from Nestle, these ready-to-bake cookie dough things. No longer would you have to measure out all the ingredients and actually mix it and put it on the cookie sheet. All you had to do was take it out of the freezer, slice off a bit, and put it into the preheated oven. Well, it didn't take very much time before my roommate who bought this simply said, "I don't have the patience for that," and just ate it right out of the freezer. Just this weekend, I found myself driving to Best Buy to buy something rather than waiting even one day for Amazon to send it to me. We insist on buying produce in season and out of season, peeled and cut and ready to eat right out of the bag. As kids, we were impatient to grow up. As grown-ups, we're impatient to make money, get married, have sex and or kids, have a house. Some grown-ups become impatient even to stop working, to have their kids move out of the house, only to have grandkids who they can invite into the house. I know that 4 years seems like way too much time for many who are ready to be pastors now. And I'm sure many of you are impatient for the services in April, which will tell you where you're going to be sent. As new pastors, sometimes we huffily and impatiently parade the flags out of the chancel, the fonts out of the back corner, the Joel Osteen books out of the library. And sometimes even seasoned pastors are impatient as they foist chalices and every week communion on an unprepared congregation. Congregations are impatient when their numbers don't grow fast enough, when their offering plates aren't abundant enough, when you turn out to be a sinner just like they are. Marriages fail for lack of patience. Children and parents are estranged for lack of patience. Babies and seniors are sent to their premature deaths because we don't want to be inconvenienced and we're impatient. What we want now, according to our own time and our own will. So take a deep breath and relax. Go for a walk. Relax your shoulders. Sleep on it. You don't need it now. It doesn't have to happen now. At any rate, it's out of your hands, whether Jesus returns today or in 1,000 years. None of our day-to-day concerns make an ounce of difference to your salvation. No anxious thought or worry or self-tormenting care, what a great line that is going to win the Father's favor. As people who are preparing to defend the gospel, as people who are preparing to ready themselves for service to the church, for those of us who already preach the word, we have to learn patience. Peter even gives us a nice reminder of the prophets, how they suffered, how they had to be patient, remembering Job, who lost everything and yet managed to remain patient and steadfast. And remember that line in A Mighty Fortress about them taking our goods, our fame, our child and wife. Let them all be gone, for the kingdom is still ours. The kingdom of heaven is here already, and it's not going anywhere without you. And nothing you can do today will change that or hurry it up. Jesus will come when he's ready, and until then, we just listen, receive, and go about your day-to-day vocations. And so we wait, and we wait, and soon we're going to celebrate yet another end of the church year, yet another whole year of waiting for the Lord to return. But in the meantime, we have his promise. We have Jesus. We have his body and blood. We have the words of his prophets and the words of his apostles to cling to and to hear. And above all, we have his assurance. His assurance that the victory has already been won for us. That Jesus has covered up your sin, that he has swallowed up death forever, and that you have been claimed by him as his heir in holy baptism. By his grace and will, we pray for patience and steadfast faith. But until then, calm down, chill out, stop worrying, and be patient. It's not a law, it's not a rule to be obeyed. It's a promise. For the coming of the Lord is at hand, and you have seen his purpose, that he is compassionate and merciful. And it will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in it." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.